you'll be glad to know that I've got a new presentation method. We've had some wonderful acronyms here today. Most of them have gone over my head. But I'm using the new Variable Oral Information Communication Exchange. The acronym is VOICE, voice, and that's all you'll be getting. There's no PowerPoint, there's no slides, there's no flip chart, there's just me. And who am I? I have to read these notes, actually, to tell me who I am. But I am a patient. I have severe emphysema, COPD. I've got four endobronchial valves in my left lung, fitted by Liverpool Heart and Chest. Mr. Shackloth, the surgeon. I retired as a principal officer in local government 10 years ago. How time flies. I'm a patient lead for British Lung Foundation, chairman of Breathe Easy Sefton North, which is a self-help group for people with any form of lung disease. I sit on Sefton CCG for the Community Respiratory Team Steering Group. I'm a place inspector, places patient-led assessment of the care environment, and I do that for Merseycare. And I'm actually on the Board of Governors for Liverpool Heart and Chest. So you can see I do a lot. Mainly to not sit down and die, to keep me going. And it does work. Until recently, I chaired the Health Watch Community Champions Group in Southport, but I had to give that up because it clashes with the governor's responsibility. A patient experience. I think I'm the token patient here today. Probably no other patients, although some of you may be a patient in not in your primary job. But a patient, imagine having a very tight belt tied around your chest, a face mask on, filled with cotton wool. Sounds like a bondage movie, doesn't it? You struggle for every breath. You can't get up off the floor. Your worried wife or partner rings for an ambulance, and the first thing the paramedic does is put you on oxygen and whoop it up to full blast. Away you go. I try to tell them that I don't need so much oxygen, but they overrule you and it's off to hospital. Arriving at hospital, they tell the nursing staff that you've been trying to take the oxygen mask off and you're being obstructive. Twice I've arrived at hospital over-oxygenated and suffered from a very sore throat, headaches, dreadful headaches, and all you're there really is because you've got a chest infection. So it's not a nice experience. And patients very often go through that experience. But imagine the paramedic arriving and having access to medical notes, which give them an idea of what a patient is suffering from. It's an exacerbation of their COPD. The notes show that the patient has an ambulatory oxygen rate of 4 litres per minute, and that on exacerbation it should be between 6 and 8 litres per minute. The patient is prone to severe chest infections and is on permanent antibiotics. That they've probably taken their rescue medication of prednisolone and doxycycline. And all that information is there to guide that paramedic to give you the correct treatment. The suggested course, for the paramedic is to get the patient to hospital quickly so that intravenous antibiotic can be given and general nursing can take place. And the healthy Liverpool slide that we saw about the doctor giving all that information to the an emergency doctor really put that into a prime example. And the things that I'm going to say, you already know, they're not new, they're just things to jog your memory, really. It doesn't take much to decide what is the best course of action for the patient. Really doesn't. Health professionals use data to improve care. Data is knowledge, and knowledge, of course, is power. Patients with COPD, and probably other patients, need to have an effective programme of care. Data and knowledge sharing can contribute towards that plan. Trust and support from the public, especially from patients, is essential and needs to be actively strengthened. The patient's perspective is, and this is the general patient, it costs me nothing. If it benefits me in some way, helps me better, keeps me healthy, then I will consider it. It will not be sold to somebody who will make a profit from it. Most people do not trust government, and I use that as a generality. Remember the kerfuffle when GPs were asked, tasked with signing people up, and we mentioned it in the opt-in, opt-out, and the question about what opt-out was. Most patients don't remember whether they were asked or not, and they don't remember what they actually said. They don't know what's happening with their data. The public still do not know what they've signed up to. We quickly need to put in place a method of collecting patients' permission to share their data and a method of healthcare professionals accessing that data and understanding it to provide better medical treatment for the patient. Healthy Liverpool once again. We need to work with the medical industry to ensure that data is secured and protected to ensure the patient's trust. The data may need to be anonymised where it's expected and required, but the public need to be constantly reassured that their data is being treated as we've said it will be. The same measures need to be applied to universities and medical research institutes. Innovation in medical devices, programs, apps, and so on, new procedures, must be a big part of the engagement with the patient. My wife has recently been part of a trial of the NSAFE project, whereby a smartphone is used to monitor trips and falls and to provide the elderly people, not that my wife's an elderly person, she keeps on reminding me, to provide elderly people to self-manage their health for a higher quality of life. It wasn't terrifically successful, but again, it's involving the patient in technology and its use. I myself have started a scheme called How Are You Today? It's designed in partnership between Lancashire Care NHS Foundation Trust and IntelliSant. And the How Are You Today app enables you to manage your symptoms of COPD on a regular basis. Again, technology being linked up is fine, but it still very often doesn't work. Last week, I sent off for my repeat prescription on my PC to the doctor's surgery, as I always do. So I requested the repeat. I got the reply to say your request's been received and is being actioned, and that was it. Next day, my wife asked me to do the same for hers. Her prescription was actually delivered the next day, but mine wasn't delivered by the end of the week. So I thought, that's strange, I'll phone up the chemist. And I phoned the chemist, only to be told, we haven't got a prescription for you. But they've had a locum in this week who doesn't know how to use the system, so he's just writing prescriptions. So I phoned the doctors, and the lady behind the counter said, oh, let me check. And she says, yes, there's a prescription here in the box for you. I could have sat waiting for that forever. The system is that it electronically gets transferred to the chemists, and the chemists deliver my prescription. The system had fallen down. So it just shows that we're still in the age of people making mistakes, and technology depends upon the people that are using them. They're only my personal thoughts. The thought of data is one of asking the right questions, because the data that you get only depends what you've been told. Excuse me. It is gin. This chap goes into an interview for a job, and the interviewer says, I'm going to ask you three questions. One is easy, one's hard, and one's very hard. He says, the easy one, can you name 2 days of the week that begin with a T? And the guy thinks, and he says, that's easy, today and tomorrow. So the examiner says, well, that's probably right, yeah. He says, the hard question, how many seconds are there in a year? And he says, year, 12 months. 12 months. Oh, he says, there are 12 seconds in a year. He says, 12 seconds? What do you mean? And he says, well, there's the 2nd of January, the 2nd of February. So he says, this is the question, the very hard one. He says, name me the swagman in Waltzing Matilda. So the guy says, that's really hard. He says, I'll have to sing it to myself. He said, ah, yes, I've got it. He says, it was Andy. He says, Andy? How on earth did you get to Andy? He says, well, I sang it once by Billy Bones. Watching the tail from Coolabah Tree. Andy sang, Andy watched, Andy waited. Well, it was Andy. So it always depends upon how you ask the question and whatever answer you get. Thanks, everyone.